Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Nancy Solomon from WNYC News, sitting in for Tanzina Vega this week. 14 months into a global pandemic, and we're still struggling with rising COVID infections, kids home from school, and the economy in tatters. And all of that falls at the doorstep of governors. So we're going to talk about the place I know best, New Jersey, which is grappling with so many of the debates happening nationwide. Aging infrastructure? Check. Frustration with the appointment system for getting a vaccine? Check. Desperate to get your kids back to school? Don't even. To talk about all of this, we're joined by Governor Phil Murphy. This is the last year of his first term. He's a Democrat, and his party controls the state legislature. But it's not exactly kumbaya in Trenton. Governor Murphy, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Nice to be with you, Nancy. Thank you for having me.
I should probably say up front that you and I do this regularly for a show that runs on the public radio stations in New Jersey. You once complimented me by saying the show was like a sharp stick in the eye. So thanks for subjecting yourself yet again.
Yeah, that was quite an introduction in terms of the state of affairs in New Jersey. You've gotten off to a good start.
Well, let's jump right in and talk about vaccine access. It's opening up for everyone over the age of 16 next week in New Jersey and, of course, around the country. This is something President Biden is urging states to do. Is that going to cause another logjam for the appointment system?
Listen, we already have a supply-demand imbalance, but just as when you board an airplane, someone came up with this analogy, which I think is a good one, where you have group 1A, 1B, 1C. You don't wait till the last person is through before you open up the next group, so you've got overlapping waves. That's the approach we've taken. We crossed 5 million shots in arms. We have 9 million residents in New Jersey, as you know. Listen, that's not to say that there is not a supply-demand imbalance and folks who have not gotten an appointment that we don't understand why they're frustrated or have anxiety, because we do. But the fact of the matter is we're one of the most efficient states in the country in terms of delivering the supply that we get. The challenge is we need more supply, and that's something the Biden team knows and they're working on.
You made the decision early on to let local school districts decide for themselves whether to teach kids in person. That has led to some epic fights in communities about getting their kids back to school, that it's often pitted teachers against parents. Why did you decide to leave it up to the local school districts?
Couple of reasons. First of all, New Jersey was just rated again for the second or third year in a row as the number one public education system in America. So let's start with where we are, and we wear that as a badge of honor, and it's a huge magnet for families, for businesses, for folks who want to be here. Secondly, we are the ultimate home rule state. So even in a normal time, there's a lot of while there's a significant amount of state guidance and an enormous amount of state financial support, we pride ourselves in accepting that no two districts are the same. And so when you come to a pandemic, we have felt from the beginning there's no reason why you should think differently. Now, having said that, we have been crystal clear that we, from the get-go, that the in-person instruction is far richer than the hybrid and remote instruction, and that's what we would like to see, assuming we could do it safely and responsibly. And it's moving toward that. You know, right now, 70%+ of our kids are either in hybrid or in person. We've said that we hope that number gets up to 85% or more this school year, and we expect everybody to be back in the classroom in September. And listen, that's not to say that there's mental health challenges that have come from this, learning loss, and we're throwing a lot of resources at both of those to do whatever we can to make up for the lost time.
What do you think about the reticence that teachers have had about returning to class? I mean, you have a political relationship with the teachers' union. They've been supportive of you. I imagine this has kind of been a real tension over the many months. So even with vaccines, Teachers have said that they're afraid of putting their families at risk if they were to return to school now. What do you think about the position teachers have taken?
Listen, this has been an extraordinary, stressful year on everybody. Moms, dads, kids, educators, administrators. There's just no denying that. So I can't begrudge anybody saying, listen, I've got a lot of concerns about what's going on in life right now. And many of these educators, if not most, are moms and dads themselves. But at every step of the way, we have tried to call balls and strikes as we see it. In fact, I'm on the phone regularly, almost every day, calling a mayor, a superintendent, a local union president, going through their plans to get kids back into school. Everybody, I believe, recognizes and wants to get back in person. But we just got to do it in a way that's safely done, responsible. And I'm optimistic we'll get there. Newark, which is our biggest school district, has signaled that they're about to go back in, at least for hybrid learning. That's a huge step in the right direction. Equity, by the way, is a huge piece of this, right? So you want to make sure it's not just 70% of kids, but you also want to look to see, while we've got the number one public school system in America, the dispersion of experience remains far wider than any of us would like. And so that's certainly another factor in this.
Young Latino men make up half the deaths in New Jersey from COVID for people under the age of 50. And I know that you've been getting a lot of pushback from progressives in New Jersey on your budget. They're largely supportive of your budget, but there's been pushback about wanting relief for undocumented workers who aren't eligible for the stimulus checks. So what do you think? These are essential workers who kept us afloat during the pandemic. What's your thinking about supporting undocumented workers right now?
Listen, your premise is the right one, Nancy. First of all, as a general matter, this virus has been disproportionately crushed communities of color. As I've said many times, COVID-19 didn't create these inequities, but it has certainly laid them bare. Everything from access to health all the way to, as you rightfully point out, who populates our essential workforce. And so we've done with our own budget, with the disbursement of the coronavirus funds that we already have, we've done everything we can to try to address those inequities. Am I optimistic? Am I hopeful that we can find a way to drive money directly to those undocumented brothers and sisters in our state, whether it's federal or other money? Yes, that's something that we absolutely want to do. We are the most diverse state in America. We wear that as a badge of honor. And we know that a pandemic is like a lot of other things in life. You don't achieve success unless you bring everybody along, not just some of us.
Let's talk about Joe Biden's infrastructure package. He wants to spend $2 trillion to shore up roads, bridges, the internet, the green economy. The list goes on. How does the Biden package help a state like New Jersey?
Oh, it's a game changer. Think about who we are for a second. Northeast Corridor, densest state in America, located in the densest region in America, and a state that has its share of legacy assets. So when you look at what could be in that package, and you look at what is already in our state, an all-time high investment in infrastructure, it's a game changer. The Gateway Tunnel Project, which is one you and I have talked about, adding two new tunnels under the Hudson River, and then rehabbing the two that are there that were built, by the way, folks, this is not a typo, in 1910, offshore wind, other roads, bridges, rails, tunnels. It's a game changer for us, absolute game changer. And it's a huge job spinner, especially for organized labor. And we are the quintessential organized labor state. So in every respect, it's a big deal for us.
I would love for you to tell the Portal Bridge story briefly, if you could. That is really such a great example of what happens when you ignore infrastructure.
So this is a bridge in New Jersey between Newark and the Hudson River, built again around 1910, and it's over a canal, and it's a swing bridge, meaning it swings out parallel to the water when there is maritime traffic. The problem is the bridge is so old, when it gets swung back into position, you need literally manpower to hammer in the bolt that keeps the bridge in place. And this is not just any bridge. The entire Northeast Amtrak spine goes across this bridge. So we got, I'm happy to say, from President Trump, the green light to replace that. That's one piece of the so-called Gateway Project. But it gives you some sense of the legacy assets that we're dealing with.
Right. So Biden is proposing to raise the corporate business tax to pay for these infrastructure improvements. What do you think of that? I mean, you've raised the millionaire's tax. There's been a big debate in New Jersey about wealthy people leaving the state, whether they would or not. You know, now here's more taxes on both corporations and the wealthy.
Listen, I think if folks feel like they got their money's worth, you feel a lot better about what you're paying, right? So did I get value back from what I paid? And we are so overdue as a nation to have that sort of FDR era reinvestment in our infrastructure, all the spine that is the backbone of our nation, but as well in a 21st century mode. So yes, it's roads, bridges, rails, and tunnels, but it's also and must be also broadband. It must be offshore wind. New Jersey has aspirations and a real plan in place to become the number one offshore wind state in America. Having the feds alongside us helping to make that reality sooner, everybody benefits from that, including corporations. So I would say as long as folks feel like this money is well spent, it's worth it, and it's frankly overdue as a nation.
Has there been any evidence yet that wealthy people are leaving the state because of the rising taxes here?
We have not. And to the contrary, Nancy, and this may well be temporary because of the pandemic, people have been coming to New Jersey in a big way over the past year to get that single family home, maybe sooner in life to raise their kids, put them in school, commute to work. So that's the big trend that we've seen in particular over the past year.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking with us, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Nancy. Take care.